Greetings, brothers and sisters. I would like to invite you now to join me in opening up your copy of the scriptures to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We'll continue in our series in the epistle of 1 John tonight. I also want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the reading that we'll have first from Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. So put your finger in 1 John chapter 2, but we'll have a reading first from Jeremiah 31. As you're turning there in your copy of the scriptures, it has just been on my heart this week as I was preparing to think about, as we progress through the epistle of 1 John, we're really being searched and asked to consider our life in light of who God is. And it's hard work. As one preacher said, it's hard work because it's heart work. And we're going into a new section where John has said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him there's no darkness. And then he says, having come to understand who God is in the light, that not only just changes your relationship with God, it actually changes your relationship with sin. You begin to despise sin. You begin to confess sin. You begin to run to Jesus with your sin for cleansing. And he's going to go into a new section tonight where, having come to understand who God is light, and in him there's no darkness, it's going to change our relationship to God's commandments. But before we go to the commandments, this is what's really been just on my heart, is this. Should we proceed into the next text if we've not really grabbed hold of the previous text we've studied? Are we confessing our sins, brothers and sisters? Are we having come to terms with reality that God is light? Have you confessed your sins? When was the last time you confessed? When was the last time you sorrowed over sin? When was the last time you actually went to someone to be reconciled to them because the reality of God is light revealed sin in you that you needed to confess to another? As we encounter the Word of God, we must come to terms with the reality that it is working on us to conform us to the image of His Son. And so with that in mind, we will proceed now to consider our new relationship to God's commandments, but I just wanted to give that as food for thought, meditation, something to consider, is we're moving on from our new relationship to sin, but I don't want us to forget that. Because it really is what John is saying. You can know that you know God if you confess your sins. So let us be quick to confess when we do have sin, knowing that God is quick to forgive, and He will do so. With that in mind, let's turn now to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, to hear this reading from the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. This is the word of God. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, by my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And read verse 3 to 6. This is God's word. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. This is God's most holy word given to us as people, that we truly might be transformed, conformed to the image of his Son, and walk as he walked. Let's give the Lord thanks and praise for his word to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word given to us through your apostles, through your prophets. Lord, we have received and we've heard, and now we turn to meditate and to contemplate what it is that you would have us do with the words that we have heard. Jesus, you're very interested in us doing something with the words that we hear, because you said in that Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man. But on the heels of that, you also gave the warning that whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is a fool. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. Open our hearts to receive the beauty and the goodness and the riches of your truth, that our lives might be transformed by your grace and your love working in and through us, through your Spirit, sent from you, our Father, and our Son, the Son, Jesus Christ, to give us life. We want to walk in this life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the commentaries that I referenced for this sermon immediately said, this text has got a lot of people in trouble. Okay, let's just skip and go to the next one, but that's not what we do, is it? No, we take the text as it comes. We take the scriptures as it comes to us, and we turn to the word and have it read us just as much as we read it. And with the word of God open for us, we see that John is again, once again, giving us a word, a teaching to give us assurance, to give us confidence that we are in right relationship to the God who's revealed himself as the God who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Remember in chapter 1, verse 5, that is the message that John has received, and now he's proclaiming to the church. It's the message that has been recorded for us, and now we are hearing for ourselves that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And chapter 2, verse 3 ties us back to that chapter 1, verse 5. By this you know God who is light. By this you can know this God who is light. And what is he saying? By this we know that we have come to know him. That's what I want to talk to us about tonight, is knowing God. What does it mean to know God? How can we know that we know God? Is there any way for us to comprehend what it actually means to know? In postmodern philosophy, this idea of knowing anything is really, really muddled. Can we even understand the words that we're using? Or are they just mere symbols and signs, just us grasping to define what reality is? What are words even? Those are the kind of the questions that modern philosophers are asking. How can we know anything? And John is telling you, and John is telling me, that you can know that you know. You can have confident assurance that you really know this God who is light. He's not doing some kind of like philosophical gymnastics for us, because he told us that God is light. He's not dark. He's not a shadowy figure. You can see him, and you can see yourself in light of him, and you can really truly know him by the outcome of this encounter with him. And that's what I want us to focus on just for a minute, what it means to know. What it means to know. In the Old Testament, God had made himself known to Israel through his deliverance. We saw it in Jeremiah that he made himself known to his people by delivering them from the land of Egypt. They encountered God's salvation. They saw the deliverance. It was an experience where they were caught up into God's salvation. They experienced it. They had firsthand knowledge, experience, encounter with God, being saved from Egypt. They knew that they had been saved. It wasn't just some like, oh, I believe, or I confess that we were saved, or I have an understanding of being saved. No, they knew they had been saved. And they also knew that the presence of God was going to dwell in their midst, because they saw him, they encountered him, they engaged him at Sinai, and God made himself known to them experientially. They knew this God, this holy, awesome, glorious God through experience and encounter. And God said, I will make myself known to them by abiding with them in the tabernacle. So God dwells with his people, and they have an understanding of God through experience and knowledge of him by this encounter with God in their midst. Happens in the temple. And God often reveals himself and his presence to his people in such a way that they can know through encounter, through experience, through a radical change of the way they view the world because they've encountered the living God. And there is a way for you and I to know that we know a God who is light. Knowing God, what John will tell us first is, in verse 3, is by keeping his commandments. You know that you know the God who is light because we keep his commandments. There it is, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him. If. Let that word just hit you right between the eyes for a minute, as it did me. If you keep his commandments. If you would go throughout modern evangelical churches, maybe even some Presbyterian churches, maybe even our church, and you say, how do you know that you know God? How do you know that you have encountered the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness? I fear that many of us would hear someone say something like this. Well, I prayed a prayer when I was 10. Well, I was raised in a godly home and I was taught the truths of the gospel and I just know them. I've always known them. Well, I just believe. I know that I know that I know that I know because I believe. Well, John does not say that. John says, this is how you know that you know him. You keep his commandments. You keep his word. Your life is radically transformed and changed because you've had a living encounter that has encountered you in such a way that you have reorganized your life around this God who has revealed himself and given you commands to follow him in. Having encountered God, we obey God. We don't obey God in order to encounter God. God has revealed himself to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and having come to believe that he is who he says he is, and that he reveals the God of the scriptures, the God who is light, having encountered this God, we put our confidence in him, and we seek to obey him. The fruit of your salvation is obedience to God's commandments. You can know that you have had a living encounter with the God who is light because you keep his commandments. You walk in his word. You aim to keep aligned with him. You seek to obey him. It becomes the all-encompassing passion of your life to walk with him. Oftentimes, I will hear people speak and talk about the assurance they have of a fellow friend or an acquaintance or a relative, and they go, we'll often ask, well, were they a believer? How did they know? Well, many, many years ago, before they got into trouble and before their life went the way it did toward the end of their life, they had this moment, did they keep the commandments? Were they seeking to walk in a pattern? And that's the idea, is walking in a pattern of progression, growing in the commandments, growing in obedience. Or was it just a moment where they had an encounter with the truth of the gospel, but they never had any fruit from the gospel? You can know that you know him. Why? Because you keep his commandments. That's what John is telling us. And now I know why this scripture has gotten a lot of people into trouble. Because some of us will hear me saying, you've got to keep the commandments to be saved. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, having encountered the living God in the person and work of His Jesus, in the person and work of His Son Jesus Christ, you have been transformed, and you seek to obey. And that's how you know, because you are desiring and longing and hungering for obedience to keep His commandments. That is evidence that you know the God who is light. He continues by showing us that not only knowing God means keeping His commandments, but knowing God means being radically honest about your situation, where you sit and where I stand tonight. Look at verse 4. He gives us this gracious warning. He gives us this gracious counter that someone might say, well, I know Him. And they say, well, I know Him because I professed Him, I confessed Him, I believed on Him, but I didn't keep His commandments. But I prayed that prayer, or I went forward at that revival meeting, or whatever they might say. But John says, whoever says I know Him but does not keep His commandments, slow down. Let your ears be attentive and pay close attention. Whoever says I know Him but does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Our assurance that we have been radically transformed and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ is the evidence of a life that seeks to obey. But to say, oh, I believe, but no obedience, no assurance, no confidence. And if you give anyone assurance and anyone confidence in that sort of position where they're saying, well, I know Him, but I'm just living my life, and you give them any kind of assurance, you're lying to them. Because what John is saying is, whoever says I know Him but does not keep His commandments is a liar. They're lying to themselves, and the truth is not in them. Because when the truth is in you, the word of God comes in you, it does bear fruit. It does lead to joyful obedience. It does lead to keeping God's commandments. So to say I know Him but not keeping His commandments means that you're still in darkness and His word has not transformed your heart. Let's consider what it means to keep His commandments here, because what are we talking about? Well, it's a great grace to us that John leaves us with no muddled thinking here. In chapter 2, verse 23, he will say, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So we know that we can know Him by having the Son and having the Father. But look at chapter 3, verse 23. He outlines the commandment for us. And he, notice how he says it. And this is His commandment. No muddled thinking here. It's clear as day. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Do you see the two-sided commandment here? This is His commandment. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, you believe? Amen. Thank God for that faith. But that faith produces something. What does it produce? You obey the commandments, and that commandment you see right there in verse 23 again. You love one another just as He loved you. You love God with your whole heart, receiving His Son by faith, and you love one another. That's the commandment that John is talking about. This is how we can know that we know Him, by keeping the commandment of putting our confidence, our trust, and our faith in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, but also by loving one another just as His Son, Jesus, has loved us. And to say that we know Him and not to obey that commandment, there's that warning again. We lie and we do not practice the truth. This requires radical honesty of us. This requires for us to just pause in the moment to ask, Lord, search my heart and know me. Is there anyone that I would call brother that I'm at odds with? Do I love the brethren? Do I love my sisters? Do I love my neighbor? Do I love them in the way that God has loved me in Christ? Because that's how I know that I really know God, is that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I also love others in the way that Jesus has loved me. Are we at odds with anyone right now? Are we not seeking reconciliation or restoration in some relationship? Are we not pursuing the unity of the church? If we are, we know that we know him. But if we aren't, we have to pause and say, have I encountered the living God? Because his commandment is to love, just as Christ has loved us. We must deal with the word as it comes to us. And it says, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But there's really good news in verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, another way of saying keeps his commandments, in him truly the love of God is perfected. You know that you know God when you keep his commandments. You know that you've encountered God because you can actually be radically honest about how it's going in your life. And if you realize that there's some sin in you, you have confident assurance that you have forgiveness in Christ, and so you run to him with that. You seek to be reconciled with your brothers and your sisters. That's what we've seen earlier in this sermon series, is that having sin exposed means that we can run to God for forgiveness. So we're not like dodging our sins. We can be radically honest about it. We can seek restoration. We can seek reconciliation. We can seek forgiveness. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly the love of God is perfected. That only means keeping and being radically honest, but it also means making progress. Making progress in your relationship with God in such a way that he pours his love into you and that love goes out to others. The love of God perfected in us. As if God's love is lacking? What this means is that God perfects his love by advancing it, pouring it into you and advancing it through you. It comes to fruition. It bears fruit. It confirms that you truly are in him. It doesn't deplete God's love. It fulfills God's love. Mark that. Your disobedience in no way, shape, or form depletes God's love, but your obedience fulfills God's love. God, pouring his love into you, in and through the person of Jesus Christ, redirects his love toward others, and in that, it is perfected. It is fulfilled. It comes to completion. Whoever keeps his word in him, another way of thinking about it is, the love of God is advancing through them. The love of God is going, being poured out into the world through those who keep God's commandments. So we can know that we have truly encountered him. We can know that we've truly had this experience with him because our neighborhoods are getting transformed. Our households are getting transformed. Our friendships are getting transformed. Our families are getting transformed because we're being transformed. Because having come to know him, his love is being poured into you so that it might go out into the world. God is using us as his conduits of love in a world that needs to be reconciled to him. And if you are keeping his commandments, his love is being perfected in and through you. What good news! You can know. We can have assurance. And it is in this. Knowing him means we keep his commandments. Knowing him means that we're radically honest about our situation. But knowing him means that we are making progress in loving others just as Jesus has loved us. So the question always has to come back down to, how's it going with us? Are our relationships being changed and transformed because of our relationship to the God who is light? Are our neighbors hearing about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ because we've engaged with a God who is light, who has forgiven our sins, and we want to see the whole world reconciled? Because his sacrifice is sufficient not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Remember that. He carries on in the last half of verse 5. He says, by this we know that we are in him. Doubling down, giving you confident assurance that you know this God who is light. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Again, it's another way of saying keeping his commands. Whoever says he has fellowship with God, makes his dwelling with God, has his home in Christ, who has union with Christ, who abides in him, you know you're abiding as you see your life and growing in further obedience to him. You walk in the way that Jesus walked. And he said in the Gospel of John, the Son does what he sees his Father doing, because the sons of God always are seeking to do what their Father is doing. To walk is to make progress in the way of love from a God of love. Jesus walked in full assurance of his Father's love toward him, so he was able to pour himself out for others. We too are called to that kind of life. Whoever says he abides in him, makes their dwelling with God, ought to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. This is a real challenge to us. Because you look at the way of Jesus, it is the way of sacrificial love. The way of Jesus is a pouring out in his life and ministry. It's also a pouring out at a cross, because he had the joyful assurance that his Father would raise him. He could give himself to the uttermost because his confidence was in the love of God toward him. Brothers and sisters, you can live in the same way because you have the same promises given to you. I heard a man once say to me, I was preaching actually through 1 John, and he came to me and he says, I don't know about you, Shaver. He goes, Jesus died for the church so I don't have to. Tell that to the martyrs. Jesus died for me so I don't have to, you know, mope in pain and suffering and service. I can live a confident life. You can what? Live for yourself now because Jesus died for you? Well, that's not what I mean. Well, what do we mean? Because if we are going to say we know God and that we've made our home in Christ, we ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Giving ourselves fully to one another because God has poured his love into us. Giving ourselves fully to one another in love, even though it might cost us, because God has poured out his love through his Son for us. We can love each other to death because there's a resurrection to come. Brothers and sisters, we can know that we know God by keeping his commandments. We can know that we know God by being radically honest and repenting of our sins, knowing that God is willing to forgive us. We can know that we know God because we're making progress in his love flowing through us. We can know that we know God because we abide in him and we're walking in the way that Jesus walked. This word abide is one of John's favorite words, and the apostle uses it numerous times through the gospel and also in his epistles. But isn't it interesting that Israel knew that God was with them, that God was abiding with them through his presence from a place called the mercy seat, where there was an ark there. And that ark was a testimony to Israel that God was in their midst. What was in the ark? What was in the ark? His commandments. Because to live close to God, to abide close to the God who is light, is to live and dwell and abide near to his commandments, seeking to love him with your whole heart and seeking to love others just as he has loved you. You can know that you know. And the answer is, how do you know that you know God? Is, I am seeking to keep his commandments. I am seeking to walk as Jesus walked. I'm seeking to be a conduit of the love of God poured into me and flowing out through me. That's how I know. If that's not true, we have to ask ourselves, well, what God have I encountered then? Because the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ is the one who's poured himself out for you in love, so that you might be reconciled to him in love, that you might be empowered to go and love just as he has loved you in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you can know. You can know by keeping his commandments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the radical honesty of John to call us to really consider who you are, God of love, who's poured your love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and made your dwelling with us as your people. You now abide with us by your Spirit, and your word says now that you are living in us through this new covenant, we can live in a way that reflects your love to the world. We can walk as Jesus walked in this world by trusting him, by keeping close to his word and keeping his commands. Father, would you transform our lives and our hearts and our minds in such a way that we would seek to honor and keep and to obey your commands. And Lord, would you reassure us of your grace and your mercy toward us, because we are walking in a way that says, I'm seeking to keep his word. Lord, for anyone here tonight that has not encountered you, would you please, by your grace and through the work of your Holy Spirit, bring them to life to see you in all of your glory and all of your splendor, that they might be reconciled to you and be drawn to you in love. But Lord, for those of us who have come to know you, who may even have been lulled to sleep by the trinkets and the temptations of this world, would you awaken us now to realign our hearts with your commandments, that we might walk in them and walk in them in such a way that we fulfill them. Lord, would you do this miraculous work in our hearts, even as we continue to consider your goodness toward us by responding to you and singing psalms of praise to you, knowing that you're a God who keeps your word. And knowing that you keep your word, Lord, we pray that we'd be those who keep your commandments. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.